Hi, everybody. Geraldo here. Welcome to Geraldo Rivera, the podcast. If this is your first time listening, thank you very much for tuning us in. Every week or so, I'll give you my thoughts, my opinions on the air, on the latest news. There's so much to talk about now in the age of Trump. You can have show notes if you need them. They can be found on my website, geraldo.com. Come back often. Feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Geraldo Rivera and on Facebook, Geraldo Rivera. All these links are in the show notes. Again, thanks for tuning us in. Here now the show. Hello, everybody. It's Geraldo. This is the Geraldo Rivera podcast. It is the 15th of March. Recording this live. This is the episode number 11. Trump taxes and other big items. You know, it's very funny. I was watching last night. Everybody, I think, was watching the widely publicized, highly hyped episode of Rachel Maddow's show. She does a good job. She's on 9 o'clock Eastern time, my old time slot. When I was at CNBC, she, of course, at MSNBC, and she got her hands on partial tax returns from the president of the United States when he was just a billionaire, brash billionaire businessman and semi-playboy back in 2005. Everybody in the world, not everybody in the world, but people who are interested in Donald Trump's taxes, and people who were insisting that he made no money or that he deducted all of his earnings and somehow used various tax ploys to beat the IRS. Anyway, everybody was tuned in. Everyone thought and figured, obviously, because Rachel Maddow and MSNBC are arch enemies of the president of the United States. They hit him every single night. Everybody anticipated the worst possible news from the White House, from Donald Trump. Indeed, they were saying in the hour and a half or so after Rachel tweeted out that she had the tax returns, that was like 7:30 last night, Thursday night, or not Thursday night, what's tonight? Today's Wednesday. So 7:30 Tuesday night, Rachel tweeted out that, you know, stand by 9 o'clock, we're going to really shock the world with these tax returns. So, like everybody else I was watching, along with Sean Hannity, my pal, was also tweeting about it. We were watching, and out comes Rachel Maddow, and she seemed apprehensive. She seemed, you know, a little out of her element, but then she started presenting the tax returns, and it became clear why she was feeling some unease. Voila, what did the tax returns show? They showed that Donald Trump paid taxes in 2005 of $38 million on income. I think it was of $150 million. So he paid $38 million in taxes, which came out to 25.3%. So Donald Trump paid 25% income tax on $150 million, $38 million. Now, to give you some comparison, I don't know what your particular tax rate is, but I know that the 44th president of the United States, or the Obama family, in 2015, their effective tax rate was about 19%, just under 19%. Comcast, NBC, paid 24% in 2015 on their income. Bernie Sanders paid 13.5% in 2014. Mitt Romney paid about 14% in 2012. So I tweeted out when I heard that Donald Trump should get a new tax attorney because he's paying too much in taxes. So rather than, obviously you get it, rather than the story being that Donald Trump is beating his taxes or has no income, the story suddenly was, and this is where Rachel Maddow had the egg on her face, the story was suddenly Donald Trump makes money, $150 million income, not bad for 2005. Who knows what else he had going on in terms of capital gain and so forth. Donald Trump makes $150 million, and he paid $38 million in taxes on it. So he paid a pretty fair share. I wish I made the money to pay $38 million in taxes. So he paid a fair share of his income in taxes. Not unlike, and in some cases, more generously in terms of his tax paying, than many others that we know and many on the left side of the political spectrum. So it was a big laugher. But the funniest thing is, what did they compare Rachel Maddow's big buildup and then certainly to her followers' letdown in terms of the presentation? I've got Trump's tax returns. And guess what? He paid his taxes, a fair share of his taxes. So they compared that. And this is why I get agitated, but I mean in a pleasant way. Excited is probably a better word. They compared it to when I opened Al Capone's vault and found nothing. They made Rachel Maddow's revelation of Donald Trump's tax returns her Al Capone's vault. So the funny thing is, flashback to last October, after the Access Hollywood tapes where Donald Trump says he touches them in the private parts and so forth, there was a bounty put out on tapes. Any other tapes that could help cement that horrible image of Trump as a womanizer, as an abuser, as a misogynist, and all the rest of it. They put out the bounty on tapes. And I was on The Five, our live program, at the time. And I said, you know, I interviewed Donald Trump a couple of dozen times over the years. I'm sure I have some outtakes. For example, I interviewed Donald Trump in 2006 about Rosie O'Donnell. And you should hear what Donald Trump said about Rosie O'Donnell and the stuff that I never aired on television. But I had that in mind. Plus, I figured that there must be plenty of other outtakes. So after a day or so, in the heat of the campaign, everybody started piling on to me, offering me from $1 to $5 million in a bounty if I would come up with my tapes. I was getting calls from the Trump people as well, as they were saying, hey, what's going on? What do you have? It was really causing a lot of disruption around here at Fox News. I had no idea my utterance would be such a big deal. So less than 48 hours after I said that, I then tweeted out, you know something, I've done an inventory of my tapes and I have no other outtakes. I have no other Donald Trump tapes. Rachel Maddow, and this is my point, Rachel Maddow then went on her program and compared my whole story about Donald Trump's tapes to my doing Al Capone's vaults. In other words, my tape saga was as empty as Al Capone's vaults, said Rachel Maddow. Now, for those of you listening to this podcast rather than watching it live right now on Facebook, here is how Rachel Maddow set up my Trump tape failure that was, to Rachel Maddow's view, Al Capone Part 2. All right, here's Rachel Maddow last October.
On Friday night, you know that the Washington Post published that tape that it obtained mysteriously from the archives of NBC. Unedited footage from a behind-the-scenes moment on the show Access Hollywood from 2005.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down on Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and f*** her. She was married. I moved on her like a but I couldn't get there, and she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony
Yeah, that's her, with the gold.
I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I just kiss. I don't need to wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
That tape came out on Friday. On Sunday night, it was the night of the second presidential debate. It was still all anybody could talk about, right? Including on the one cable news network that was least interested in talking about it on Friday night when that news first broke. But in the lead up to the debate on Sunday, even on the Fox News channel, they had to admit that this was the story now of the campaign. And in the middle of their pre-debate discussion that night, up popped hey, it's Geraldo Rivera again. And the firework that he set off on Sunday night on Fox News in the lead up to their debate coverage that night was that, according to him, he said there are more Trump tapes of this kind. And you know who has them? Geraldo Rivera has them.
I've interviewed Trump many times, been with him many times. There's tape that I have. Craig, my brother and I have just been starting to go through the tapes now, and there are some statements that in the context of the current climate would be, I think, would be embarrassing.
That was Sunday night. Kind of a bombshell, right? I mean, tell me more. Geraldo Rivera says he has more Trump tapes. They are embarrassing Trump tapes. Is Fox News really going to release those tapes? Fox News, of all places? Really? Mr. Rivera, I'm hooked. I await your next pronouncement.
I will open it on live television. Step inside the vault with me on April 21st.
Discover the mystery.
I want to discover the mystery. I am hooked. You're good at this, sir. You've always been good at this. But it turns out, just like April 21st, 1986, turns out once again it's just dirt and maybe a stop sign in the proverbial vault. No loot, no bodies. Check out this climb down from Mr. Rivera. Look at this. Contrary to my on-air remarks, a search of my files found no relevant Trump tapes. And then a few moments later, quote, I apologize to Donald Trump for piling on and adding fuel to the Trump tapes scandal. You always treated me and mine with respect and friendship. And so reflecting on that respect and friendship, Geraldo Rivera has decided he doesn't have tapes of Donald Trump after all, despite what he and his brother found the other day.
I just did on Fox News with Melissa Francis, our wonderful anchor, the 2 p.m. Eastern Time hour, the story that I just told you. Here is a brief clip from Melissa Francis's show just 2 hours and 40 minutes ago, right here on Fox News. Here's Melissa Francis.
Fox News correspondent at large, Geraldo Rivera.
Stand by, this is shocking.
Yes. Everyone on Twitter, including myself, was doing jokes about Al Capone's vault.
Right, the empty vault.
I think that if for anyone who doesn't remember, I think we have the video and we can play it for you when you famously opened up Al Capone's vault. I loved it. I remember the very night I snuck out of bed. I watched it on the TV. Other people were more critical.
Well, the world was watching. We found the gangster's vault in the old Hotel Lexington in south side of Chicago. We thought it had bodies in it, guns, gold, cash. It turned out I had an empty Gilby's gin bottle and then a 1926 stop sign.
What did that feel like, by the way?
Well, I knew the whole world was watching. It was my first big independent production following 15 years at ABC News. I knew that everybody had tuned in, and I wanted to bury myself in the hole when I found nothing. But I tell you what I did find was ratings, and I think Rachel Maddow also will discover the ratings inside the empty vault. Yeah. But I think that because she made fun of me when I said that maybe I had some Trump tapes during that whole Access Hollywood thing, and then I did not deliver, she made fun of me and said it was Al Capone's vault all over again. I submit to you that Rachel Maddow now has the mantle of the Al Capone vault.
One very big difference, though, from a production standard is you didn't know what was inside the vault. Well, she was doing all that hyping. She knew what was in the tax returns, and so she knew as she's hyping that she wasn't really revealing anything. I mean, he paid $38 million in taxes. If you look at his effective tax rate at 25.3%, he was paying a higher rate than President Obama, 18.7%. Comcast, by the way, the big corporation that backs Rachel Maddow, paid a tax rate of 24%. Even Bernie Sanders, 13.5%. What did you think of what was inside her vault? Meaningful, not meaningful?
Well, I thought it was very meaningful. I thought that, first of all, that President Trump should get a new tax attorney because he's paying twice the rate Mitt Romney paid.
That's a great point.
You know, It was so favorable to the president that I thought for a second that maybe he planted it.
I know.
Rachel Maddow would do this big reveal. I think, by the way, that's why she was so tentative in her delivery just there, because she knew that the bottom line was It belied every notion that MSNBC has been promulgating, that Trump is a tax dodger. That's why he hasn't released his tax returns.
Or that he's not rich. I mean, that's
Or that he's not rich.
Now, for the record, the Trump administration has said it's ridiculous that they were behind this, because a lot of people have speculated, like you said, that maybe it turned out so well for him and it was so embarrassing for MSNBC, who he's called fake news, that maybe he was behind it. He says that's absolutely not true. But it did end up on a PR front being a very good night for him. Do you think for you, I mean, you got blockbuster ratings out of the vault. There was a happy ending to that story, obviously.
Your career boomed. I was the most famous unemployed person in America. That's why I took that job to open Al Capone's vaults, thinking that it would resurrect my career. I found nothing, but I had 22 job offers the next day. So who knows what happens to Rachel Maddow.
So here's my deal. So Rachel Maddow says that I'm Al Capone and his vaults, because Al Capone's vaults symbolize a journalist who promises something and then does not deliver. Now, Rachel Maddow is being called the new Al Capone's vault because she promised the tax return, the implication being they would have a devastating consequence on Donald Trump, the president. She came up empty-handed. Why? Because Donald Trump paid his fair share of taxes. All I have to say is this. Rachel Maddow, ironically, did the president of the United States an enormous favor by this hyped up story that turned out to be a disappointment to the left and an exaltation to the right. Why? Number one, it shows Trump paid his fair share of taxes, at least he did in 2005, if these documents are legit, and we have no indication they are not legit. In fact, the White House seems to be endorsing their legitimacy, questioning only how someone could get their hands on these papers, because somebody obviously committed a federal felony to get their hands on, whether it was a tax preparer or somebody in the Department of Justice or somebody in the IRS, that maybe makes more sense. But somebody committed a federal felony in releasing these taxes. That was the only beef the Trump White House had. Rachel Maddow has, egg on her face because she promised Trump's tax returns, and then when she delivered the tax returns, they turned out to favor the man she so profoundly disfavors. And I'm just saying that now the mantle, when you hear Al Capone's vaults and you want to associate it with Geraldo Rivera, associate it instead with Rachel Maddow and remember that she promised Trump's tax returns, she delivered them, and Trump paid his fair share of taxes. The other reason the White House is grateful for this story is that it was a respite, however brief, from the two huge stories that preoccupy us. Number one is the Obamacare debate. And it certainly seems as if Ryan Care, notice Donald Trump is not putting his name on it, Ryan Care, the Republican alternative with which they hope to replace Obamacare, they want to repeal Obamacare, as they voted to do several dozen times already. But now they want to be serious about it, and they want to replace Obamacare with their own plan. The Ryan Care plan that Trump is supporting, is and has endorsed, is failing. It's never, ever going to be enacted. Why? Because everybody is angry with the Ryan Care plan. Why are they angry? If you're old and poor, you're going to get screwed under Ryan Care. You're going to get premiums that are as high as five times more than a healthy young person. So a lot of older people, 50, 60 years old, it's funny that I talk about that as old these days, but they'll be paying much higher premiums, a much higher deductible than they are right now under Obamacare. A lot of those people voted for Donald Trump, and they don't like this replacement because it's going to screw a lot of them. 24 million people currently insured or who would be insured under Obamacare are going to lose that care, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Ryan Care is also being assailed by the right wing, the Rand Paul wing. Why? Because the Ryan Care plan is still socialized medicine in the sense that I am paying for your medical care, and that really irks libertarians and many in the so-called Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives. So they don't like it because it's still socialized medicine, and the old poor left doesn't like it because they're going to get screwed in the new plan because it's a lot less than they're getting now under Obamacare. So it's not going to make it. Ryan Care is not going to make it. But this big debate, so dominating the news until Rachel Maddow's tax return flap knocks it off the front page at least for a half a day. So the White House is grateful to Rachel for that. The other big story that was knocked out of the headlines for three quarters of a day is this story about the Russians. Now, clearly, President Trump, my friend, who I really love this guy, remember I keep saying that, clearly did not tell the American people, the world, an accurate story when he claimed in a tweet that he had been, quote unquote, wiretapped by his predecessor, Barack Obama. There's no evidence of wiretapping whatsoever. So they say, don't take the president literally. He didn't mean wiretapping literally. He meant it more figuratively. He meant it that his folks were being surveilled by the FBI. So James Comey, the FBI director, who has a lot to answer for in recent months, obviously. But he will be speaking in a closed-door session to the House Intelligence and I think the Senate Intelligence Committees, and telling them exactly the state of the Russian investigation into the hacking of our electoral process, whether or not there's any evidence of collusion. I personally don't think there is any evidence that there was collusion between the Trump campaign or the Trump transition. I think General Michael Flynn, you know all that story. I think he probably spoke out of school. But anyway, I don't think there's collusion, but there is definitely clear evidence that officials in the Russian government were hacking U.S. government agencies and private businesses and obviously email accounts of people like John Podesta, the campaign chairman for Hillary Clinton. Today, we found out that four Russians, including two members of their FBI, their FSB, their secret security services, that two of the four Russians indicted for hacking the Yahoo accounts, almost hundreds of millions, maybe even a billion Yahoo accounts, four of them were Russians, indicted in federal court in the United States, indicted. Four Russians, two of them spies, two of them Russian officials. So now we know. We know that not only did Russia hack the private emails of people like Podesta, we know now that Russia hacked Yahoo, a private business, to the disadvantage of hundreds of millions of people in the United States and around the world. They snooped. They got personal information. Who knows how much money they cost whoever has, who still has a Yahoo account. It cut the value of Yahoo. They're trying to dump that company. Cut the value of Yahoo down considerably. My point is that right now we know for a fact. I mean, obviously we don't know. They haven't been convicted yet. But we know that probable cause exists by law. To indict someone, you need probable cause that a crime has been committed. So now two Russian spies have been indicted for hacking Yahoo, along with two other Russian knuckleheads. Four of these neo-commies indicted. Indicted for hacking into Yahoo, screwing with the accounts of hundreds of millions of people. We know they hacked the private emails of John Podesta and others. So what does all this mean? Does this mean that Donald Trump or someone in the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russians? No. Doesn't mean that at all. And again, I've seen zero evidence of any of that collusion. But I tell you what it does mean. It means that Russia has the capability, the capacity, the intention, and the willingness to mess with our internet, to screw around with our most private data, to attempt to affect the outcome of our elections. So those of you who are somehow charmed by Vladimir Putin or some of the smooth talking coming out of the Russian camp, forget about it. Mitt Romney in 2012 was absolutely right. Russia is our enemy globally. They don't wish us well. They attempt at every turn to undermine our way of government. We have to be vigilant to it. We have to crack down on them. We have to impose sanctions on them, further sanctions on them to those that exist now. We have to abandon the naive notion promulgated by Barack Obama and others that a new era exists between us and Russia. They are our cultural enemy. They are our ideological, philosophical, political enemy. They wish us ill. They want to disrupt our way of life. They want to undermine our governments. And they have the intense capacity to savage our right of privacy, to affect our elections. Beware the commies, the neo-commies. Beware the Putin lovers. I'm telling you, be on guard. So Trump pays his taxes. He was happy that the Russian story and the Obamacare story were for a day or so, just under a day, relegated to the second paragraph or the second page of the newspaper, the second, third story in the TV lead. Funny how Rachel Maddow's now the holder of the Al Capone Empty Vault Award 2017. I appreciate your listening to this podcast. Keep tuning in anytime. See you next time.